Blog Talk Radio.
I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkness night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Thank you.
been faithful to us.
So faithful.
You never left us alone. You never forsaken us, and we thank you for it. Thank you.
evening, afternoon.
Yeah. Follow me, and I Hallelujah. If you're going to follow him, you got to deny yourself. Pick up our cross and follow him. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to give you all something quick before we pray. There's 5 oils that you can use. Anybody you know suffering with any kind of cancer, they have to try the different portions to make it together, but it works. And these 5 oils, one is thyme. The oil of thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. The oil of rosemary. The oil of oregano. And the oil of chamomile. That's C-H-A-M-O-M-I-L-E, oil. And then the oil of frankincense. These 5 oils, when they mix together, become stronger than any chemotherapy, as far as the doctor says, that they will heal any type of cancer, breast cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, brain cancer, lung cancer. This is what the doctors say. That's the oil of thyme, the oil of rosemary, the oil of oregano, and a chamomile oil, that's C-H-M-O-M-I-L-E, and the oil of frankincense. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come to your table one more time and break bread. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you help us to decrease that you might increase. Lord, we ask that you would cause my town to become the pen of a ready writer. Lord, let the fire of God rest upon that town, my town, O God, and that as it come forth, it will burn into the very crevices of our soul, in our hearts, our minds. Lord, that everything that's not like you will be burnt out. And make space, O God, for all that you would give us this day. We speak to the 4 corners of the earth, and we ask the 4 angels to hold back the 4 winds this morning, as always, that nothing will be destroyed, that the sea, nor the land, nor the trees will be destroyed. But, Lord, everything will be protected, O God, for you to seal us, O God, with the blood. Keep us sealed under the blood in Jesus' holy name. We ask you to touch those that are coming on. Touch those that are listening by name. We have Android phones or lineup phones or computers, however they're listening, Lord. We ask you to touch their ears. And, Lord, most of all, touch their hearts, that their hearts will not be critical or judgmental, but be receptive to this word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. You know, yesterday evening I was sitting here mixing some things, you know, to keep my arteries clear and caused my heart to heal and certain things as the Lord was giving me revelational stuff. And I was mixing some things and blending some stuff in the blender. And the Lord dropped this word in my spirit yesterday. I didn't understand it till this morning. And I was studying some scriptures last night. But this morning I really got it. I really, really, truly got it. And the Lord dropped in my heart, do you believe? Do you believe? Simple topic. Do you believe? And this morning he took me to the book of John, St. John. I didn't have this scripture last night. I had some other scriptures in John, but he took me to the scripture, John chapter 20, and he began to show me this scripture. And as I was studying this word, I start to focus on it, and I see that people could be with you and still don't believe in the vision that you have. They could walk with you, talk with you, eat with you, drink with you, even have a romantic relationship, could be your husband, could be your wife, and still don't understand the vision that God has given you. They actually have to see the vision working to believe. And I looked at the scripture this morning. I began to study it. And some things the Lord showed me in this that I've never heard anybody preach on. I'm going to show you. I only was going to do 3 verses, but as I begin to study this, the Lord took me back to the beginning of the chapter. And I have other scriptures that I want to go to. But here in the book of John, chapter 20, Father, we ask you to bless the word. We know your word is blessed, Lord, but let it become fire. Let my eyes pick up the fire off of this word today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. It's so good to see Bishop on the line this morning. He's been Bishop all, busy all week. We thank God for him and his lovely wife to be with us. In the scripture that the Lord gave us this morning, it's John chapter 20. We didn't put this in there last night, but the Lord gave us this morning. And we're talking about, do you believe? And let's start at verse 1. We want to get down to, we're going to jump off of this in a little bit when we get to where I want to jump off, and then we'll skip some page, some verses. But let's start at verse 1. It said, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Early in the morning, she went to the tomb. When it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, or tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the tomb, to the sepulchre, the tomb, same thing. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in, he didn't go in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now we can dissect a lot of stuff right there, but that's not where I want to go right now. I'm going down somewhere, I'm going somewhere, okay? Because we know that the linen, the napkin is there saying that he's coming back. That's the main thing, that he's coming back. We know that, because we know the whole thing of when we go to a restaurant, when the lap napkin is still folded at the table, that the waiter don't move your stuff. They don't take your fork and your knife and your plate, because they know you're still eating. Hallelujah. You know that you're not complete. You're not finished. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Bible says, it says, then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. See, no, we're talking, do you believe? He couldn't believe that they had taken Jesus, even though he see the clothes there. He looked inside and see stuff, but once he got and saw that the clothes was there, the linen clothes was there, he know that they have, Jesus was not there, he was gone. He believed then. Some of us, we got to see stuff. We got to see stuff to believe. We don't believe that this is going to come to pass because the pastor's moving on a vision of an insight that God has touched him, touched her to put this body, this church together, this edifice together, and draw people, encourage people to come to know Jesus. They don't believe that she has gotten a word from the Lord. He has gotten a word from the Lord. So they say, well, I'm not going to follow her. I'm not going to follow him until I see the people come. And then I'll believe that he really truly got a word from the Lord to start a ministry. Hallelujah. But glory to God. Look to this. The Bible says, for yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre. She stood outside the sepulchre weeping as she wept. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre or the tomb and seeth the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They lay actually about 6 feet apart, somewhere about around that thing, where the head is and the foot was supposed to be. And glory to God, my Lord Jesus. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? They ask her a question. She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? He asked her a question. Whom seekest thou? Jesus knew, but he still asked her the question. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast taken him away, tell me where thou hast taken him, and I will take him away. I will go get him. That's what you see. I will go get him. And Jesus said unto her, Mary, he called her by name now. Let her know who he is. He said to her, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master or teacher? Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now I want you to jump down to verse 24. Now, we don't hear nobody preaching that Jesus went to heaven and come back to the disciples. Now, from this text that I'm seeing here this morning, Jesus has came to the earth one time. He got crucified and he died on the cross. He was buried. Now, Jesus has gone back to heaven before he come back again. Now, he come back a second time. Now, he's going to come a third time to redeem us. You got to see it in this word, because I've never seen it before till this morning. Never seen it till this morning. And you'll see it yourself, too. Now, if you go back and look at this verse here, verse 17, he asked Mary not to touch her, because he had not ascended into heaven. But you're going to see that, which is going to tell you that he had already went back to heaven. You'll see it in this scripture. Watch, I'll show you. He showed me this morning, man. Bless my life. And he says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I ask you a question this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe? Now, what's this? Just telling that Jesus went to heaven to come back. And after 8 days, when his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, they're inside the house. They're in the living room. They're in the dining room. They're wherever they are, they're in the house. They're within. And Thomas was with them, doubting Thomas. Didymus is with them now. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He didn't knock at the front door. He didn't knock at the side door or the back door. All the doors were shut. He came in through the wall, just coming. Just come on in, because he's God. Hallelujah. What's this? The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Jesus wants them not to fear. He does not want us to fear. We are so easily become fearful when something is happening, when something is going on in the earth, when we become fearful. We don't want to die. Hallelujah. We say we want to go to heaven, we want to live in eternity with him, but most of us, we don't want to die. We're afraid of death. I remember in 2017 when I had to go through all of that testing with my heart. You know, for some reason I started with going to Africa to do crusade. And I started getting this pain in my chest. And I said, well, you know what? I got to see the cardiologist. Why don't I mention this to him? That I've been getting this little sticking off and on in my chest. Well, let's send me through all this rigorous exercise on the treadmill. I start to run up a hill, and when I start going up a hill, I put the treadmill so steep that I tell you, I felt like my heart was coming out my chest. And I had to put this thing in my arm called a snake. I still got the mark right here to just show you, because I got this keloids that grows on my skin. You know, they're not big like some people have. But if I get a little cut, I'll get a kilo, you know, a little grown flesh. And I got see where they put that thing in my arm, in my wrist, and went up my chest. But the blockage that I had, 75% one place and the 35% another place. But I didn't know that about the 35 till I got back from Africa. They told me I had two. I knew about the 175. But either way, the blockage was behind my heart, so they couldn't make a U-turn, they said, to get into that. To that artery to put a stent in, so I had to trust God, and the cardiologist, Dr. Kriegel, says, he said, well, Rev, you're going to still go to Africa. He said, how long you got to go? Because he really thought that I was going to spend like 3 or 4 months there. So I'm only going for like 10 days, 12 days, or something like that, 7 or 8 days, what it was turned out to be. He said, well, that's okay. He said, because I don't want you to go there and get a heart attack or something, because the hospitals there is not as good as our hospitals here, especially for poor people. So I said, well, look, Doc, if I die, I'm going to die doing what I like, serving the Lord. And I'm about his business, because and so I'm about his business. He's going to take care of my business. But when I got back from Africa, my artery was fully open, Because I knew that if I die, that I would be in the hands of the Lord. And I wasn't afraid of it. And God knew that. I told the doctor, I said, I wasn't afraid. First thing, they couldn't even find the artery. And I told him, stop, God. He keeps sticking, pushing the thing back and forth. And I said, look, stop. And I prayed. And after I prayed, they put me under. They put the thing on my nose. They started breathing that stuff. And I was gone. Because my veins are very deep. And you can't find my veins. So I had to pray. And guess what happened? God just rise up the vein so they could get the thing inside the vein. They were just sticking. And I said, no, stop. They stopped. You see, he can't catch it. But here is doubting Thomas. Thomas is doubting. He don't believe. He got to see the nail pitch. He got to see the hole in his side. But what I want you to see here that God blessed me with this morning, I tell you, I love when you spend time with the Lord. When I spend time with him, that he reveals things to me that I have read this scripture so, I've preached on this so many times, I've never seen it before. I've never heard no preacher preach that. Watch and see, I'll show you something. Remember in verse 17 that Mary could not touch him because he told her, don't touch me because I have not ascended unto my Father. He said, but go tell the disciples that I go to my Father. Until their Father, their God, the whole story here. Right here. Listen right there in verse 17. But here in verse 26, after 8 days, which is represent completion, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. The door locked and Jesus showed up and began releasing the spirit of peace in the atmosphere. They don't have to be afraid. He's not a ghost. He's not a figment of their imagination. He is Lord and God in their presence. That's what he's saying. You don't have to be afraid. Then said unto he, Thomas, reach thither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now I want you to see here that in this verse, it tells you that Jesus has went to the Father and he's come back to earth to allow the disciples, his servants that he's sending forth into the earth realm to declare him as Lord, to see him risen from the dead. It's right here in this verse. You just got to look deep. Remember, Mary couldn't touch him because he had not ascended to his Father. But now, why is he allowing Thomas to touch him? The flesh is fainter in the near prince and in his side because he has been to the Father. So that would be the second time that he came to the earth. He's coming now a third time. See, you got to see the scripture, because the scripture has more in it than you can see with your natural eye. You have to look into the scripture in the spirit realm. You got to look in the spirit to see what is there. It's so much in the scripture. I tell you, Apostle, this thing blessed me so, oh my God, my body begins to need it. You know, you ever think that when you come to this place, that sometimes when something is different in the room, you get chills? And you feel like near, goosebumps coming up on your skin. When I begin to see that, that's how it felt. And I don't even have the air conditioner running in my house. Hallelujah. I got goosebumps. Then says he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold, touch me. Put it in the hole, and reach thither thy hand. And thrust it into my side, and be not faithless. Don't doubt, but believe it. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. In other words, he says, because thou hast seen me, thou hast trusted. That belief has an ED on it. It means that he trusted, not trusted. Hallelujah. You are trusted. Glory to God. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I ask you a question this morning. Do you believe? And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. See, we don't have to see a lot of stuff. All you need to do is believe. Sometimes so many people, so many leaders, so many politicians, so many Bible scholars, leaders in the house of the Lord, say they believe, but they don't believe. How do you know, let a little bit of sickness come upon their body and they lose all faith, all faith, all hope of believing and trusting God to deliver them or heal them? Everything goes out the window because they say, well, why this and why that and why this and why not and all this stuff. They don't call on him. They don't trust him enough to deliver them, to heal them. They become faithful. They don't know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to go up to Matthew chapter 9. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I just want you to see that, because God blessed me, and the blessings are not for us to keep. When God bless you, you're supposed to share your blessing with somebody. When we get blessing, we want more blessing. Lord, I'll give me some more blessing. You're not doing what you're supposed to do with the blessing. The blessing is for you to share. I want God to give me plenty money. Plenty money. You know why? Because I want to bless plenty people. I don't want plenty money so I can run around and act like I'm this awesome millionaire, billionaire, whatever. I want money so I can bless people, bless more people. I can build houses. I can build wells. I can do stuff for people. I want money to say, well, I got tons of bank accounts. I got money in Europe. I got money in the Caribbean. I got money in Canada, I got money in the United States, and I don't want men to do that. I want men to bless people, so they can suggest that God caused that man to bless me. That's a good God, that God. I want to know that God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people will just come to God because you bless them. You give them an orange, you give them a sandwich, you give them some milk, you give them some lemonade in a sandwich. People will just come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you show them kindness, you show them love. They'll come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People will come to Jesus. People will come to him. But we got to show them. Love them to see Jesus in us. Hallelujah. Look what he says. Matthew chapter 9. Let's jump around this place, this thing. Oh, glory to God. I tell you. You know, just lay down. Don't push yourself. You got a lot of education. You know, you got a lot of knowledge. Don't push yourself. All you got to do is open the book and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Hallelujah. Don't say, I want to give them this. I want to teach them this. I want to teach them that. Just open the book. Lay there on the bed. Sit down in your easy chair and ask God to show you. Say, well, Lord, what do you want me to give to your people today? What are you going to give me to give to your people? And look, the Lord will give you what you need to have to give them. He knows what we need. He knows what we need. But no. We want to come up because we want to say, no, I got a doctorate degree. I got this. I got that. So I can find something. No, let the Holy Spirit show you. Let the Holy Spirit show us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then when the Holy Spirit show you, we'll have the right stuff to give the people. Hallelujah. And then we wouldn't have to be boasting. We say, well, you know, this is what the Lord give me for you. I love when Minister Batmos come on. She's such a street young lady. You know, she just comes on, you know, when the Lord showed me her and we ordained her. She couldn't believe. She didn't know to put two scriptures together. Couldn't put one scripture together and make a trend. I tell the truth. When I told her, I was teaching that morning in the church building, and I told her, I said, girl, you know the Lord's going to use you, and the Lord called you to ministry. She sees you. She's looking at the next lady next to her. I said, no, you, woman. I didn't even know her name. I said, you. And she looked at me with crooked eyes, and I hear her preaching out with fire, with tenacity. Here in this book, this Bible here speaks to us so clearly. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. And glory to God, he speaks to us. The Lord Jesus speaks to us. Matthew chapter 9, and let's start at verse 23. Glory to God. This is what God wants us to hear today. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, they were playing music, worship music, because the ruler's daughter was laying there dead. Hallelujah. She had a sickness and she crossed over. But Jesus said that she was not dead. She was sleeping. See, Jesus know more about us than we know about ourselves. He know more about the world than the world know about itself. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the Sovereign Lord, people of God. And the Bible says that he entered the house and the minstrels, these are the musicians or the worship leaders, people are singing and praising and making noise. And he said unto them, give place. In other words, get out. For the man is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. See, when you know that you know that you know that you have the anointing, that you have the power, you have the authority, you can speak with authority. Hallelujah. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, the young girl, she arose. And the same day folk went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed, hence, when he leave the area, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Two blind men heard. They heard the noise that was going abroad. People was talking about Jesus. How he has raised this little girl that was supposedly dead. Hallelujah. So they said, look, if he can raise this little girl from the dead, the minstrels was over there singing and everybody was mourning. The neighborhood was at the parents' house mourning and crying with the parents. They said, we better call out to this Jesus. We better call out to him because he has what we need. In other words, these blind men had faith. They believed that if they call out and get Jesus' attention, that they would see. They would get their sight. Say, these blind men cried out. They started falling. and asked him, Jesus, to have mercy on him. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. Excuse me. The blind man entered the house also. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Now listen. He didn't ask him about the eyes. He didn't say, do you believe I can give you your sight? He said, do you believe that I can do this? Whatever you need done, that's what he's talking about. Whatever you need done, do you believe I can do it? We ought to have the same kind of mindset. Because some of us have eyes and can't see. We have ears and can't hear. Have feet and don't know where we're going. We go any place. He asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this thing? They said unto him, yeah, Lord. They didn't even stutter. Right away they said, yeah, Lord. Touch he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightway charged them, saying, see that you tell no man. See that no man know it. Don't tell nobody. But there, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame. In all the country, you can imagine that when you get delivered from what you delivered, nobody can stop you from telling. Not even Jesus can stop you. Hallelujah. He warned them, charged them not to tell nobody. They tell everybody. Everybody that they come in contact with, you know, that it was Jesus. It was that Jesus that healed me. Now we can see. You know, when I first got delivered from crack cocaine, when I was truly set free, I had to tell everybody. It wasn't the drug facility, the drug treatment facility that I went in. It was when I had an encounter with Jesus, like Paul had on his way to Damascus. When I had an encounter with him, he took away the craving. He took away the need that I had for cocaine or alcohol or womanizing or anything of the sort. He took it away. I had to tell somebody. And people say, you always talk about Jesus. You always tell it. No, I got to tell you. Because I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I no longer love my life unto death. Anything and anyone that would hinder me from seeing Jesus, got to get up my life. I don't care who they are. That's where my mind is. Go to Matthew chapter 27. People of God, this book here cannot lie. This book cannot lie. When you study this book and allow the Holy Ghost to lead you, you begin to see things in this book that will bless you and take you to another dimension in him, another realm in him. This book cannot lie. This is the word of God. People are still preaching, oh, they took 14 books away out of the book. They're not even using the 66 books that they have. They're not even believing in the 66 books that God has given us to elevate us into that realm that we can hear from him. They're not even using it. They don't even believe in it. They take one verse out and put all their stuff that they're learning in a school of theology, all of their stuff. Put their own flesh on it instead of preaching the gospel. He says, is it because you got to eat the whole scroll? Eat the whole roll. Eat it all. Pull up one verse and say, let me just put my stuff on here because I want the people to see how great I am, how well, what knowledge I have. Matthew 27, verse 42. Listen what he says. The people begin to realize Jesus. Jesus is on the cross. One thief on the left and one thief on the right. One thief said to him, you deliver so many people. Why don't you deliver yourself? The other thief said to him, to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Now, he says, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Folk want to see a sign. They want to see a miracle before they believe who Jesus is. They want to see a sign or miracle before they believe that you truly is the minister of the gospel. But you know the sign that they need to see? Let me tell the sign that they need to see in you and I, in us. They need to see us being consistent to the call that's on our life. They need to see us walking in faith, not wavering. Hallelujah. When people see us say, well, I'm going to play the keyboard, I'll be there every Sunday morning. I'm going to be the drummer, I'll be there every Sunday morning. I'm going to be an usher, I'm going to be there every Sunday morning. The pastor don't have to look around and wonder where I am. I'm there every Sunday morning. If you're going to be the janitor, be there every Sunday morning. Every Wednesday night, every Saturday morning, every time the building opens, door open, be there. Because if the toilet floods, what are they going to do? You're not there. You're somewhere at the beach, sipping margaritas or something, smoking ganja, having a good time, because you're slipping and dipping, one foot in the house of the Lord and one foot in the world. You want to serve Jesus, and you still want to serve the world. Can't do it. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The things also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Insulted Jesus. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that he said this, when they heard that, said this man called on Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took his sponge filled with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus believed in his Father. His Father believed in him. We must believe in him. Understand? Don't allow anything or anyone stop us from focusing on the assignment. There's many things that I have to do. Yesterday I was here, and I hear a couple of things in my spirit. And then last night I went on the prayer line with Pastor Vic. And I'll be going to, when I come back from Virginia, the Lord's will for me to go and get back safe. I'll be going to Georgia, Griffin, Georgia, to help her do the open air crusade. A few days. I don't know how long the Lord can keep me there. But if you say a week, I stay a week. If you say 2 weeks, I stay 2 weeks. But I have my computers with me, so I can still do blog talk really. And the Lord told me to bless her. So the Lord sometimes give you stuff. He give you stuff that you think you need. But the Lord already wants you to bless somebody with it. You say, well, Lord, I want this. I need this. No, God says he give you stuff that you got to bless other people with. But see what happened? We're not blessing nobody. We're holding on to everything. Everything we got, we're holding on to. And God said, we got to bless. That's how the kingdom, this is how the kingdom is established. God gives you wisdom so you can share. Go to Mark chapter 5. God gives us wisdom so we can share with other people the thoughts that God has given us. Wisdom is a thought. It's thoughts that God placed in us. Hallelujah. He sowed the seeds of this and that for us to share with other people. People are not taking the time to study the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And when you take the time to study the word of God, God releases stuff into your heart that now you open your mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth proceeded. It comes out of your heart so that they can go into their heart and help them to get closer to Christ Jesus. The Lord gave me the scripture yesterday, man, bless my heart. I mean, just bless me. Mark chapter 5, verse 36, listen to what it says. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. A lot of times so much is going on around us. We look at our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and great-grandsons and great-granddaughters. Our husbands and our wives are going through so much. And we think that we don't have what it takes to do what needs to be done. And we begin to become a worry table, let me call it. We become a worry table. Everything we are worrying about, everything. We are not trusting God to bring everything to fruition for us. We say that we believe, but we don't believe. I like when I talk to Apostle Watson, and she is going through, dealing with stuff. That's what she says. She said, Apostle, Yahweh will work it out. Yahweh will work it out. Now, when you say Yahweh will work it out, you like to put every inch of faith you got behind that thought. In that text that I just read from in Matthew chapter 9, there's three miracles that take place in that text. We only give you one with the blind man. Three miracles took place in that. Because the people believe. The ones that believe received miracles. The one that didn't believe didn't get no miracles. Jesus went to town one time in Matthew, and his own town, and could do no miracles, no mighty works. Just a few little things he did. Few people believe this stuff. He did a little couple of little things. People are saying that they believe, but they don't believe. When Jesus heard this ruler's, his daughter was dying. Jesus heard this stuff. Jesus said in verse 34, and he said unto her daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Understand that Jesus knows all. And we must trust him with all of our faith. All, not some. Partial faith don't do nothing. Partial faith means that you doubt. You don't truly believe. When Jesus heard the word of faith, Lord, I believe. See, man here that I'm in the book of Mark. Go to Mark chapter 11. We in Mark. Go Mark chapter 11. There's a lot of scripture in Mark that pulls us up to the place that we want to be. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Listen to Jesus speaking. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you are receive them, and you shall have them. See, what's the point of praying if you're not believing? Believing just means that you are trusting God. You're relying on God. You're adhering to God. You're depending on God. If God don't do it for me, it can't happen. I know it's not going to happen. I know there's times here that we have given away our last. And my wife says, How are we going to do this? I said, I don't worry about it. God has done it for us before, and he'll do it again. And so many times we are down to the bottom. You know, like the woman in the book of Kings that was down to the very last scoop of meal, of cornmeal, and a little bit of oil. You remember? Hallelujah. But then she begins to make a case for the prophet, the man of God, the servant of God, and did what the man of God says. Her oil never ran out. Never was the meal run out. She was able to pay her debts off and still had food in the house. We don't trust him enough. No, I'm not telling nobody don't pay the car payment. I'm not telling nobody don't pay the house, no. But you know, we said, no, I got to pay my water bill, because if I don't pay my water bill, I'm not going to have no water. Who do I want to give you the water to start with? Who do I want to give you the house that have the faucets and all that stuff that you got to start with? Regardless if you're renting or if you're purchasing it. You're paying a mortgage note every month. Who gives you that? Where you went to get to pay for the loan? Your credit was all jacked up, but he still made sure that you got the house. You don't think that far back? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? I'm going to pay the car note. God, give me a car when I didn't have a job. No job. Only Social Security. And God was able to pay it off. When I had a job, I can pay off the cars. Several cars repossessed because I was doing other things, messing the money up. Here in this book, hear what he says. He speaks to us. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever, whatever things you ask for, you desire, when you pray, believe. That's the key word, believe. Have faith in what you are praying, what you're saying out of your mouth. You pray for healing, begin to thank God before you even manifest. Because it's already done in heaven, but now it must be manifested here on earth. Just that when you pray for a wife, you get the wife or the husband. No, you don't want to work with the husband. You want to do your own thing, act a fool. Talk any way you want to. Talk to your wife any way you want to. But the Bible, we declare that the marriage is ordained in heaven, but it has to be worked out here on earth. People don't get to 40 years, 50 years in marriage without going through some stuff. You know why they're still married after 40, 50 years? Because they deal with every situation. Every problem that they had, they took before God. And asked God to help them to work it out. You think I haven't had storms, hurricanes, and tornadoes in my marriage? Many. I told you what my life was. But God helped us to stay together and work it out. No, let's go to Mark chapter 9. Go to Mark chapter 9 and 24. 9 and 24. 9 and 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe all things, not some. Hear what God said. This man has took his child to the disciples. Sometimes you take your patient, your sick person to the wrong doctor. Because the doctor don't believe what you believe. You got to go to another doctor. Try another doctor. And the doctor you really want to get to is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, look, verse 19, it says, he answered him and said, O faithful generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. He had taken his son to the disciples. Disciples could not heal him. He could not do anything for him. Why? Because even the disciples, even though they were with Jesus, their faith was messed up. Their faith, they had problems in their faith. Hallelujah. We are with Jesus, and we let everything we've been saved, baptized, in the name of Jesus, we came, declare that we have Jesus living on the inside. For we say that we are of God, and we have overcome all the witches and warlocks of the world. And we say, great is he that in us and he in this world. Now you see the scripture here tell us. Glory to God. that these men, that this man took his son to the disciples. He had a dumb spirit. And the spirit would mess him up, throw him in the fire, and throw him in the water, and do all type of stuff to him. But the disciples could do nothing for him. I'm talking about, do you believe? All of us ought to be checking our hearts right now, saying, Lord, help my unbelief. But the disciples could do nothing. So he took him to Jesus, and Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Him that trusteth, believeth me to continue to trust. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with a loud, straightway the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my own belief. The father said, in some areas of my faith is not strong enough. That's what he's saying to Jesus. I believe that, you know, some areas I'm not, I don't believe. I have a little doubt. I'm not strong. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Jesus began to rebuke the spirit. See, a lot of times we want to do things, but we have not spent time with the Lord and charge our spirit man to receive the anointing. How do you charge your spirit man? You got the fast, you got the prayer. It's just like when your car battery get low. You put some cables on it, or you put a machine on it called a booster. Or you let it stay there for a little while. And when the battery gets up a little bit there, you can turn the key and the engine will start and start to, the alternator will begin to start to charge the battery to the full 12 volts. Well, sometimes you and I, all of us, our spiritual battery get low. And things are not happening for us the way they should happen. But we don't notice, pay attention so much to our spiritual being to say, well, I got to turn my plate over. I got to put the forks and the knife back in the drawer. And I got to open my Bible. And fast. I got chocolate here. I got cheese. Got ice cream. I got all that stuff that I love. I got cashews, all the stuff that I love. And some is in the bedroom with me, but I'm not going to be eating it. Why? Not till a certain time. Because I have told the Lord, Lord, I'm giving you 21 days to be closer to you. I want to get closer. So in order to get closer, I got to give up something. I want something from the Lord. I want a clearer hearing. I want a clearer seeing. Hallelujah. I have to give something up. The thing that I like most, dark chocolate, ice cream, cashews. I didn't tell my wife to bring me no cashews. She went to the store yesterday. She bought me a big can. Whole cashew. I like whole cashew. I like half cashews. It don't seem to taste the same. And she got the jumbo cashews. I had some last night. Well, this is a new day. I'm not going to have any again not till this evening, late this evening. Maybe in the bedroom. I told her yesterday when she was going to the store, I said, well, bring me back a large dark chocolate bar. Well, I got it in the bedroom. I wouldn't have it again. I had a little piece of it last night because my fast was over at that time. Why? Because I want something. As much as I want to have a chunk of that chocolate, I'm not going to do it. You have to put yourself under subjection. You want more. And you got to open the Bible. You got to open this Bible. You got to study. Ask the Lord to release that to you. This man began to, he told Jesus, he said, yes, Lord, I believe, but help my own belief. Man, you got to let God know that you don't have it all together. You're a pastor, you're a bishop. But you don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. The Bible says, Jesus charged the dumb and deaf spirit to come out and not to enter back into the void. And the spirit cried and red told him, sir, and came out of him. And he was as one dead in so much that many said he was dead. The guy was laying there as he was dead. The thing that had control over him no longer had control. He looked like he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why could we do what you have done, Lord? And Jesus said, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but praying and fasting. In other words, you got to be fully charged. Spiritually, you have to be fully charged. You can't have a half dead battery and take your, because you don't have enough apps to turn the engine over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to go and charge up the battery. And then when the battery's charged, now you're ready to turn the key. We want to jump in and preach and teach without spending time with the Lord. God, spend time with you. Mark chapter 15. I'm talking about, do you believe? Mark chapter 15. Glory to God. 15, and let's see where we at. Jesus. Mark 15 and verse 32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him, talking about the thieves on the cross. They scorned him. We read in Matthew chapter 27:44. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness all over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Remember, we read that in the other chapter, so we're not going to go there. But trying to see, show you this, that they want to see signs. People want to see signs. They want to see miracles. If you can't open the blind eyes and cause the deaf to hear and cause the crippled to walk, they don't believe that you are an apostle. If you don't have a building, a church building, they don't believe you're an apostle. But if we read through the book of Acts, you'll see that the disciples didn't have no business. They went from house to house breaking bread. That's what they did. I was talking to one preacher one night after ministry. He said, where your church is? All he was asking really for that he wants to come and preach for me. Because I preach. He saw me preaching in the building. I said, I don't have a church. I don't have a church building. My ministry is on the internet. That's where we can travel and go to this country or that country. We are free to go from house to house breaking bread. They think once you have a building that you're an apostle. You're not winning any souls for the kingdom. You're not helping nobody. You're not feeding the poor. You're not helping clothe the naked. You're not going to the prison cell and looking for those that are in captivity. You're not, giving nobody nothing to drink, but you're an apostle, you're a bishop. You own all that because you got a building. Yes, I told him that, so he just looked. The disciples, they went from house to house breaking bread. They planted churches. In other words, they went and blessed the building or the house that they were going to. That's what planting is all about. They have their name on no building saying this was my building, like these folks do today. They're so conscious of my ability, my house, my church, my people. But I read in the Bible it said that he's coming back for his church, a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. His church, not for my church. No matter if I get a building or not. He's not coming back for my church. It's his church. Those talk don't belong to us. It belongs to him. That's why all the witches and warlocks that come against it can't stop it. Because it's not mine. I never get it. Even the vision statement, it says he give it to me. That's the vision statement. We are Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. That's our vision statement that he gave to us. I didn't write it. I didn't know how to do it. He did it. But we get too puffed up. We push our chests up. My building, my church, my people, my this. Where do you go on the cross and got pierced in your hands and nails in your feet and a crown on your brow and your back torn up and your chest torn up with a cat line, a whip, and shed blood and water and blood come up your side for the church? We'll get all puffed up with that foolishness. Man, look, let's just praise God and thank God that he put us in a position to represent him. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Let's get that. That's all we need. Jesus come all the way from the throne room to the earth. He said, look, I ain't come to be served. I come to serve. I come to do the Father's will. I'm on an assignment. Then Mama taking me to Jerusalem every time they go up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And one Passover, she got so busy talking to family members and friends that she forget her son. Can you imagine to forget a boy, he's 12 years old, you forget him? But he's in the temple. Was his father's business. Not his business. Hear what Jesus says. Not his business. His father's business. That's something for us to think about. This is not my business. This is God's business. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Do you believe? Because if you really believe, the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. It will be revealed to you. You'll be able to go out and do the things that God called you to do. But you ain't don't believe. Partial belief is unbelief. That's what the man said to Jesus. He believed, but had his own belief. He has partial belief. Isaiah 28. Do you believe? Ask yourself. Seek your look at your own heart. I'm not here with no judge to judge nobody. Because the Lord showed me some things about me. That I got to work. I'm working on. Because remember the message I read, I preached the last couple of days? I'm closer now than when I first began. See, I'm preaching to myself. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make his. He that believeth shall not make his. See, when you believe, you don't have to run. When you believe, you don't have to hurry up to go. Because guess what? You are connected to the chief cornerstone. You are standing on a sure foundation that no man can move. Hallelujah. That's what we believe. Even though we are going through this and going through that, our foundation is still sure. Nobody can move it. We are rooted and grounded in him. Hallelujah. We are washed in the blood of the Passover lamb. It's there. Go to John chapter 3. He's talking about, do you believe? Bishop, get ready. I see you on the line today, so I'm going to call you in soon. John chapter 3. We're going to give you some of the salvation message inside this in disbelief, because you got to have it. It's all there. Nicodemus heard the message, but he went to Jesus by night. He didn't want nobody to see him. He went to Jesus by night to talk to Jesus, to find out some things that he is a leader, that what he should know he didn't know. Jesus even questioned him, you're a leader of Israel, a devout man who don't know these things. Listen, he says, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is what it's all about. And how can you get this thing if you don't believe? If you have doubt in him and his dying on the cross and his being pierced and crowned and his skin torn up on the cross for your salvation, for your redemption, you're not going to get it. You have to believe. You can't be like doubting Thomas that you got to see him. Jesus is here in the spirit. We got to know this. You know, sometimes we start talking about him and all of a sudden we start getting chills. Somebody would say something about him, or you hear somebody testifying of what he's done for them, and you start weeping. You haven't seen what he's done for them. But if they're witness with your spirit, with your faith, and you start weeping. Jesus says that whosoever believeth continue. Hallelujah, be steadfast in their faith and who he is. To have everlasting, eternal life. Yeah, he speaks to us about believing, staying constant, being consistent in your faith. Today we believe, tomorrow we don't believe. Because I didn't get the money I was expecting. We were talking to Pastor Vic yesterday, last night, and she had some little tents. You know them little tents you can buy at Walmart or Amazon, little tents, and they had storm down there last week, and she was in Boston trying to get the church building. She had rent to a Haitian guy, and they tore up the building. Cost $1,000 to get the building back together. It's wicked. You got to watch yourself who you allow come to use the building that God put you over to watch over. Like Nehemiah, you can't come down off the wall. You got to keep watching over the building. It's not your building, it's God's building. Understand? But you got to be a true watchman. You can't let everybody come and preach in that building. They're bringing spirits, man. I'm telling you. Because they say they're apostle, a bishop, whatever. You can't let everybody come and preach for you. They bring the spirit with them. A lot of these people are dipping and diving in witchcraft because they want to get rich. All they're focusing is on money. We all need money to pay bills and have people. But that's not the main objective. Our main focus, our main objective is winning souls. That's what I don't know about you, but that's what mine is. Main objective. I want God to say, yes, you did a good job, son. Come on in. Yes, I was watching you from on high, and I see how you're reaching for the lost, how you help the widows, how you help the orphans. Lord, he said, son, I thank you for what you have done for the kingdom. Lord, I thank you. The wind blew down all her tents. And she was saying that she wanted to get a tent, cost $3,200, something like that. And some people on the line last night said they're going to sow $100 and sow this and sow that. And they said it last year, but they never. And somebody said, well, you never continue to ask. Well, if you said something last year, you should already be sowing some money. But people say that, well, I gotta wait till I hear from the Lord. Such foolish, idiotic stuff that you hear people say. Now God already put the thing in the atmosphere. You are a servant. You are a child of God, and the kingdom needs to be established. God is blessing us to be a blessing to the kingdom. He said, remember, it's the Lord thy God that give you power to get wealth to establish the covenant. What's the covenant? For people to sow to be saved. And it takes money to get the message over. And they promised they was going to sow some things. Well, the Lord told me a couple of months ago, but yesterday he told me back again. And Pastor, you know, you got a system at the house for your ministry. And the Lord told me, I got one of the brand new one underneath my bed. In the box, underneath the bed. That never come up the case. Because God has not told me to go get a building. If he told me to get a building, I can get a building here in Boston. And I got enough power here. And I got microphones here. Wireless microphones. I got headset. I got a headset. One of the smartest headphones in the world I got here. Cost me over $1,000. But the Lord told me to bless her. And I said, well, I should get some time. And then a few days I'm going to go to UPS or FedEx, and I'm going to ship that to her for her ministry. And I brought soul into her, into the tent. Why am I going to soul into the tent? I'm not boasting about this. Why am I going to soul into the tent? Because it's kingdom business. We have an excuse. Always have an excuse why not to give. He just needs money. Man, I don't need money to do this. God's taking care of my problems. Those are God's problems out there. The orphans, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, that's God's problem. But God set you to take care of the problem. Buy the food for them. Somebody texted me last night. They had no food in Africa. Last night. We sent them money last week to take care of the kids to school, sent back into school. And they said, well, we paid for the kids to go back to school, but we didn't have enough food. And we bought some food, but the food is gone. And I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to save you some money for the food. Not boasting, because I'm expecting God to do a supernatural miracle in my finances. I'm expecting God to do a supernatural miracle on my finances. I'm not telling you this boasting. I'm telling you this because this is what we do here on Blog Talk Radio. We take care of the widows, the fathers, the mothers, and the orphans. That's what we do. I tell you that some time ago, just a few months ago, I was here. And Pastor Vic, she don't want me to say it. I'm not going to say the whole thing, though. And Pastor Vic sent me a large piece of money. She said, half the orphans, half the widows in the prisons in Africa. I could not believe it. And she had it was giving them trouble because they said, well, it was too much money to send to somebody. Maybe somebody's trying to rip you off. She said, well, that's my brother. He's not trying to rip me off. And finally, her daughter helped her to go to some place and send the money. The money was able to get to us. We didn't ask her for a dime. Because we do what we got to do for the kingdom. I'm burning up now. Here we are. Jesus, have mercy on us. I tell you. John. Bishop, let me give you one more. Because Bishop is going to bring in these scriptures, so I'm not going to give you that. Get to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. We got that scripture. And two more scriptures after that. John chapter 2. Verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciple remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. See, when you look at the scriptures, the scripture is to elevate us to that realm, to that dimension in him, that our faith begin to elevate us to be able to do what he called us to do. It calls us not to be able to take up the weapons of our warfare and use them with authority. This is what happens when we believe. We want to pray over somebody, but we don't have the weapon of our warfare is not really charged. You understand? Our faith is way down to the floor. When it ought to be up to our neck. Hallelujah. That's it. They remember. Hallelujah. We got to go back and look in the Word and reminisce on what Jesus said. And it's still saying for us today. The Bible says, they believed the scriptures and the word with Jesus. Knowing he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast. In the feast there, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. There were followers only coming after him because of the miracles that he was performing, not because they knew that he was Lord. Why are you coming after him? Ask yourself. Why do you have this desire to be closer to him? Is it because that you want to be seen by men or women, or because you want to be seen by God? Ask yourself that question. He said he knew
Hello?
All men. Hello? Apostle?
We didn't hear you. We didn't hear you. We thought maybe you were calling Bishop. It's okay.
No, I'm still here. I'm calling a minute. Now, they say, and Jesus said he knew them. He knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, the Bible says that we're looking for honor from other men. Hallelujah. Instead of looking for honor that comes from God, go to John chapter 11. This is one more scripture after this, and Bishop is going to come on in. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I hope you're getting some of this because John chapter 11 and verse 25. And then we go to John chapter 12 and verse 46. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Talking about Lazarus. He's talking to Lazarus' sister, Martha. They thought that Jesus should have been there. They sent a message to Jesus. But Jesus spent a couple more days. He's right around the corner, not too far. He just stays a couple more days. Because Jesus wants the Father to be glorified. You can't always jump off and pray for somebody because they say, can you pray for me? You can't pray right now. I'm going to pray for you, but I had to get the release from the Father. When I'm released from the Father to pray, that's when I'm going to pray. Because, see, Jesus said he don't want men to be praised. He don't want men to be honored. He don't want them to be glorified. See, he know all men. We just read the scripture. We're doing stuff to be seen and heard instead of for God to be seen in us and heard through us. That should be our objective. My building, my people, my all this. It should be, these are the people that God gave me to watch over. That's how we should relate. I'm taking care of God's church till he come for his church. And I'm doing it the way God tell me to do it. John chapter 12, verse 46, and I'm finished. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. See, people are not concerned about the miracles that God is using to doing through you. They want to handle the flow of the anointing. This is where you find that so many people, see that just Sunday morning, over 50 people were killed on Pentecostal Sunday in Africa. They went in, the radical Muslims went into the church and killed over 50 people. The blood is all over the place. I got it on my page. Apostle from Nigeria, I got it from his page. All the blood, the people, young people, old people, little people, young, all over the floor with the blood all over them. Sunday in Atlanta, where God sent me the page. An inmate got out of prison somewhere down there and goes into the church. And the lady pastor is preaching up a song. And he goes in there and stabbed her multiple times. She died on the altar. Where's your faith? Do you believe? Do you really believe? Is it a joke? This thing is real. People ain't saying no miracles because it's their church. But the church got to return to Jesus. And I'm going to preach this kind of message all the time. Don't care if anybody get mad. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm preaching for the Lord. I'm his ambassador here in the earth realm. And I'm not going to say what I want to say, Apostle. Pastor Washington, tell me don't say that. She said, don't say that. But the Holy Spirit said, say it this way. I'm going to say it this way. That's the way to. I may not have much in the natural. But in the spirit realm, I have more than enough. I'm overflowing. I'm overflowing. You know why I'm overflowing? And this now I'm boasting on him. I'm overflowing because I'm spending time in his presence. I'm spending time in his presence. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you caused us to examine ourselves. Father, it wasn't me. It was you. You wanted me first to look at my own heart, not to look at anybody's heart. And you wanted me, Father, to look at my faith to see where my faith is. And, Lord, I see that my faith needs to come up even more than it is right now. And I thank you, Father, that I'm not a doubting Thomas. I believe, even though I've never seen you face to face. But in the spirit, I've experienced the anointing that comes from you, your very presence in the spirit. I ask you, Father God, that all those that are out there in computer land that might hear this message, Lord, don't allow them to hear my voice, but let them hear the spirit flowing through my voice, Lord God, that many will come to a working knowledge of who you are and draw closer to you and surrender their lives to you, oh God, for you to use them. Lord, that they will not use no satanic trick, no Illuminati trick, no Kundalini spirit trick to get some kind of power to mesmerize the people of God. Lord, that they would trust you to work in their midst, oh God, even as you came into the midst of the disciples as they was in the room, so that doubting Thomas could see the truth and believe the truth. Lord, I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in, Bishop. Bishop, come on in.
I'm here, sir. I've been here quite a while. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the lesson on today. Praise you, Holy Spirit, for the lesson. I want to say something today, and I'm not trying to be funny, facetious, or clown, or anything like that, but it's something that our oldest daughter used to tell her son when he acted up when he was younger, you know, because he's like 28 years old now. And she told him one day, she said, you know you're being very smart. She said, are you ready to meet your maker? You know, which was like, well, hey, if you don't behave, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to try and kill you. But you know, it just was a threat to him. But I ask everyone right now, are you ready to meet your maker? Because none of us knows when our maker will say, Bishop, I'm calling your number. If you have a number, I'm calling you by name. It's time for you to come home. You don't have time to, oh, Lord, just give me till tomorrow so I can confess everything that I've done wrong and this, that, and the other. No. Be prepared. The Boy Scout motto. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done it before, don't wait and say, well, let me see. I'll go to the altar call on Sunday. Today is Wednesday. Who told you you're going to make it till Wednesday night? Receive Jesus right now. I'm urging you. It's up to you. But Jesus is continually giving us chance after chance after chance. One day, you won't have any more chances. That's why you are required to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he is the only way to salvation for eternal life. So I'm urging you today, if you have backslidden, turn around, prodigal sons and daughters. Come back to Jesus. Do it now. Rededicate your life to Jesus. You don't have nothing to do that's more important than your eternal salvation. There's nothing in this life. This is only temporal. You know, what we do today, we might not be able to do tonight or tomorrow or next year or the next 5 minutes. Now is your time. You want to meet your Maker? Then be prepared to do so. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I urge you to do it right now. Now, it's so very, very simple. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, just repeat the words that I'm saying. And if you've got a paper and pencil, write the scripture number down. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Now, I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I'm going to tell you what it says. The word is near you. Verse 8, it's in your mouth, which means you've got to speak it out because the enemy can't read your thoughts. He can inject thoughts in your mind. He can talk evil stuff and put it in your mind, but he can't know what you're thinking. Don't just think it, oh, Lord, I'm receiving you as my Savior, and don't speak it out loud. No, speak it. You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. Just open your mouth and speak it. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior today. I'm dedicating my life to you and really mean it. Dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who have never received Jesus before, and for the prodigal sons and daughters, you know what it is, but I'm going to say it to you. Jesus, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and I want to rededicate my life to you on this day, because this may be the last day of my life, and I want to do it because I'm supposed to do it, and I'm truly sorry. I ask forgiveness for ever leaving your side. And Jesus, I thank you for forgiveness of all my sins because I'm dedicating my life to you. And I know what Bishop is saying today is true, not because Bishop is saying it, because the Holy Spirit is talking through Bishop. You know, I'm right now his earthly voice. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you. My slate is going to be clean. All my sins have been forgiven me. All I have to do is accept you, Jesus, and mean it and believe that in verse 9 of this scripture, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and verse 9 says, I believe that God, that you raised Jesus from the dead, you know, and that I'm receiving him as my Savior on today. Every sin I have ever committed, I am forgiven. Because that's the word of God, not the word of bishops. That's the word of God. Our sins are forgiven. Thank you, Father, for a clean slate. And for prodigal sons and daughters, thank you, Father, for allowing me to come back to you. And I want to stay in your good graces. I want to see you, Father, when it's my time to leave this earth. And I want to be prepared. So if you've made that confession, you're now saved. Your next step, if you've never been baptized, is to be baptized, which is an outward sign to everyone. Well, this person here has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they have already been saved by just confessing that. But you must believe, and you must stay in repentance. Do not go back to what you were doing, what you were saying, how you were living. Don't go back to that. Just stay right in God's good graces. Go to your church, if you have a church. If you don't, find your church home. And if you don't, go to a friend's house who's a Christian. You know, invite them to your house. We are the church. You don't have to go into a building, but it says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. It doesn't necessarily mean forsake the assembly of the brethren in a church building. We are the church. And if two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. See? There's all kind of ways that Jesus can save us. Jesus, not Muhammad or not Buddha, not, Now, none of these people, they're all dead. Jesus is very much alive. The Spirit of God never dies. Jesus is God. He is Lord, King of kings and Lord of glory. Receive him today, I urge you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be baptized, as Peter said in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. Repent, you see? Don't go back to where you've been. He says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you. You know, it will be good for you and your children and your children's children and friends, relatives. Invite everybody to your baptism. It's an outward sign. And people who do accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and invite people, whoever you invite, if they come, they may just want to turn their life over to Christ Jesus. That soul is accounted to you for drawing them, for God drawing them through you. You just said that, you know, I want these people, even my enemies, coworkers, former coworkers, friends, relatives, invite everybody, strangers on the street, invite them, you know, and they may receive Jesus as your Lord, as their Lord and Savior, and that soul will be accounted to you for drawing these people to Jesus. We're ambassadors for Christ, every one of us. You don't have to wear a title given by man, bishops, apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, deacons. No. You're an ambassador to Christ. We're all children of God. You know? And we can all prophesy. That doesn't make us prophets, but we can all prophesy. But that's here nor there right now. The thing is to work out your own salvation. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And by doing so, you are saved. God bless each and every one of you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you've done this today. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Bishop. We had Apostle Stewart, Minister Jones, and some other phone number that I haven't seen before was on there today, and the prophetess Kershey was on, so they just dropped off. But we thank God for the word. We thank God for the word. Thank God for the prayer of salvation. You know, and Lord, we get the word in and get the prayer of salvation in, like we've been doing all week. We just give in and turn it over because God is so great. He's so great, Bishop. I tell you, I was studying this message. This blessed my heart as the Lord began to reveal things to me. Because I never saw that. I've read it so many times, but it never resonated in my spirit what Jesus has told to Mary. He told her, don't touch him. Don't touch me because he have not ascended to the Father yet. So she couldn't touch him. But when he came into the room with Peter and all the other disciples and Thomas, he told Thomas to touch him. So that must be mean there that he had ascended to the Father and he came back to heaven to show himself to them. Hallelujah. I got that revelation. It just took, mess me up. I said, God, this is so good. I tell you, I had goosebumps, man. I was so big on my body. Chills was going through me. I said, I've never heard a preacher share that. But it blessed my heart that Thomas was able to touch him. He said, go on and put your hand in the hole. Trust your hole, your finger in my side. Touch the nail prints in my hand. Oh, my God, that was so beautiful. I was just mesmerized with that. And he asked, do you really believe? Because what he's saying, do you haven't seen? But do you believe? Do you really? How you know that you really believe that Jesus is Lord and that he is Savior? You're obedient. You begin to live for Christ. People say they believe, but they're not obedient. They don't believe. The line is open.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. And we worship His holy name. We are grateful to be here on this morning today. We have a meal this week. This is the first thing we missed you. We missed you guys, but we're here today. I'm so grateful. It's always grateful to the Lord. Apostle, thank you so much for the delivery of the word. It was excellent. Very, very wonderfully done. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He does what's excellent. And we cannot do the perfect. We cannot be perfect in anything. But the Bible says that the Lord is perfect in all his ways. He is our righteous God. And everything he does is right, even when he chastises is right. Because there's righteous chastisement. So praise God for you, Apostle. We are grateful again. I say we are grateful. And I'm always, always grateful to the Lord, even when I'm being chastised and grateful. Amen. Even when things are not always going our way, we have to be grateful. And God bless you. God bless you. And I pray that the Lord give you much, much more revelation, knowledge, as you continue to study and walk in holiness as the man of God that you are. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray for the family, for y'all as well. Hallelujah. We thank God that you have some great news. And I'm rejoicing with you and our family. It's the great news, and we're rejoicing with you for this great news. And that is not something that I'm going to share. But I just wanted to say, you know what I'm talking about, that we are grateful, because I don't know the status of everything, but I do know it has become time. And praise God for that. And we knew that it would happen, as it is happening now. Glory be to God. So we are so grateful. Hallelujah. For the great news. You know, God is constantly going on things. So we must believe, we talk about believing. He don't want us to believe. It's a desire of his heart that we trust him and that know that what you say, you're in the overflow. You got to know that we're in the overflow spiritually. To get into that overflow spiritually is more important than anything else in the world. Any other things that we can gain. Because, you know, people, we get more and more all the time. We gain, but we gain more. I'm not going to be able to do it. never consider myself so hard, but I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that seems that means you have a spiritual life. And that means you can lift us up out of the mire, out of the miry place. You can lift us up and out of the sinful ways that we used to live. And now we lift us up to the higher places of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for such a deep scripture. So, Apostle, thank you for teaching. I like what you said about the battle. We're going to talk about the battle. We're going to talk about the battle. That charging up is through the Holy Spirit, our hope for it. He continues to call for us and we're going to talk about the word of God. We're going to talk about the word of God. And when we do that meditation,
I was talking to Bishop, I made a comment to Bishop.
they didn't believe apostle, and I believe the Holy Spirit brought you to that scripture, because they came to get what they could get, but they still didn't believe. We want what we want, but we still don't believe God. But we want what we want. We want to hear what we want to hear and do what we want to do, but we still don't believe all about God.
Now you can touch me. He told Mary not to touch him, but don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father. So
So he ascended and he came back. Amen. Now, his spirit. Amen. We know Jesus ascended to his Father's life. We know he went and came back because now he's looking at the question. This is after he told Mary. But go tell them. He wanted her to go tell them, I'm alive. You go tell him, Mary. Go tell Peter. Go get Peter. Go tell Peter. He wanted her to go tell. That time, you go tell it. You go tell it. And she brought that message to the disciples. Amen. So many wonderful deep scriptures there. That's deep. Hallelujah. How he did that. And how he said to let us know. Now that lets us know. Jesus came back. He wasn't even ascended when he came back. So it lets us know. He came back that time. He'll be back again. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he is the Lord. He is the promise for all knowing. I mean, he's got it all. We don't have it all, but he's got it all. And I'm glad that you always come when you're humble. And you say, I don't have it all together. I know I don't. I will never tell somebody I'm always right. Because I'm not. I'm not always right. I don't always speak the way I would like to speak all the time. You know, but lately, I mean, not just as of late, but it's been for a while now. God is telling us, watch your mouth. You thought of it. And I believe we've all thought about the tongue. Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. You know, watch it. Just be careful. Stay on the watch. You even mentioned Nehemiah, how Nehemiah stayed on the watch. And he didn't allow anybody to get in there that wasn't supposed to be in there. Because you mentioned going to Pastor Vic. That's another good point. Please be careful who you allow into your family, into the church family, into the building, even into your life. Primarily into your life, because Bishop said it well. He says it all the time. We are the church, and that's the truth. We are the church. So you are the church. We ought to be walking holy. We ought to be walking and doing things like Jesus does. What would Jesus do in any situation? What would Jesus do? Look at the scriptures, and you will see how Jesus operated, how Jesus modeled himself, the word himself, how he modeled it, and how we can learn from every parable. We can learn it when God decides he's going to give us revelation knowledge. When we desire to know more, he will give us more. He said, ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. So, Apostle, thank you so much. It was so many other good, but those are things that touched me when you talked about that scripture that most people don't even try to touch. Why? How many times Jesus had crowds around him? Not because they loved him. Not because they even believed who he was, but because of what he was doing. So we have to be really careful. People will come at us for what we know. Come at us because we're anointed. Come at us because they want a word. They want a prophecy and all this stuff. But they don't care. They don't care. They just know that this person has an anointing. And you know the anointing is very attractive. It's very attractive. Jesus was very attractive because of what he did. Very attractive. What he had, he was the Lord himself. And he was very attractive because he attracted people. Some people came to love him, came to know him and love him. Some people only came to get what they could get. And that's how it is in the world. It teaches us a life lesson. There are going to be people who come into our lives and they're only acquaintances. They are not friends. They come for what they can get. They even come to church. They come to church looking for a husband, looking for a wife, looking for money, looking for handouts. They come for a lot of reasons other than coming to get to know the Lord, coming to receive of God, to receive more of what God has to give. And, you know, that is to build us up. He's the chief cornerstone to build us up. He's the foundation. I believe you mentioned foundation. I'm not sure. But he's the foundation. He wants to build. It's his desire to build us into this beautiful vessel. Amen. But he's the cornerstone. And it starts with him. It starts with the Lord. So I believe I heard you say something about the cornerstone. Glory be to God, because I was in and out of doing things. But I had something to do. I was on the phone with my son, blah, 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 because he's out there. Another thing that I want to say is about my son, and you know, I prophetically speak over him. I prophesy over our family. We speak what it is that we want to see happen. Glory be to God. The Bible says, call those things that are not as though they were. So if we're sick, if we need a deliverance, if whatever we need, if there's a need, speak it. Call it in the spirit. Call it in the spirit. You know, and when we use the word coupled with speaking it, I mean, speak the word and call it. Those two things we have to do. So I'm saying that my son is healed. He is healed. I believe that's what the sickness sermon is about. I believe while Jesus has shown us that he's the healer, so me personally, I've been healed over and over again. Glory be to God. Over and over, God has shown me who he is. He has shown me he is the great I am. I know him. I know him personally because I've been intimate. I am intimate with Jesus Christ. If there's no intimacy, you will never get to know him. Glory be to God. So I say my son is here, and there are two things that I noticed when I went to see him to take him some things he needed. He's not making sounds like he was making. He's not clicking. He's not doing his clicking thing that he was doing. He's not blinking his eyes. He's more focused. He's more clear. He's calling up just to check on us. I just wanted to call just to talk for a little while. You know, these things, he wasn't doing that before. Before he wasn't really having his mind on other people. And he's even telling me that he's sharing his stuff with other people where he is. And we talked about that. What I'm saying is I noticed how focused he was, and I noticed that he wasn't doing some things and talking off the wall somewhere, glory be to God, and he's not taking medicine. He doesn't want the medicine. He doesn't want the anxiety stuff. He doesn't want any of that, and I'm not going to force him. But I am going to enforce in terms of the word and what the Lord says about healing. And I oftentimes talk to the Lord about the story of Apostle where he healed the maniac by the grave. My God, this man was a maniac. He was cutting himself, and he had many lesions. Many demons was inside this man. And he had been like that all his life. He was crazy out of his mind. But when Jesus showed up, he got healed. And I said that prayer. I meditated on that. And I talked to God about that. I said, God, you did that. And I know that my son is healed. I know he's better. Glory be to God. And I speak it. We call it in the spirit. And Pastor Bishop James said that we are ambassadors. But we become ambassadors when we believe. We become an ambassador. Otherwise, we don't even know we're supposed to represent Jesus. We don't even know we're supposed to talk about it and do it. We don't just talk. We show and tell. Now, go show them. And when they see you, they're going to know something wonderful happened. Well, how did that happen? It's like they questioned the blind man, didn't they? Been blind from birth. Well, how he got his sight? Well, how that happened? They're asking a question of him. They're questioning him. Right. But he said he let him know. I don't know how it happened. But all I know is I can see.
Yeah.
Amen? I can see. And all they know is that this man that Jesus healed is no longer sick. He's no longer blind. The prostitute is no longer prostituting. Why? Because we believe. And so, Apostle, thank you. Hallelujah. I just wanted to touch on those points that touched, really, really touched me, and how you said that I haven't arrived. That's humility. Because I'm an apostle and sit in the office of an apostle, I've been ordained by God. You've been ordained by God for that. God gave you that gift. That didn't come from man. The gift that we have in us comes from the Lord. Amen. And thank you for sharing your gift of teaching today. My God, thank you for sharing that gift of preaching and teaching that the Lord has put into you. And we appreciate you. We appreciate your family and how you sacrifice for the kingdom. As a matter of fact, we appreciate everybody on this live because God loves us all the same. There ain't no particular special love for no special person. We are all very, very important to God. So important he gave his only son so we could be free from sin. And we wouldn't have to live in sin. And we can one day be with the Savior in paradise. Amen. That's a gift that God has for us awaiting us. Jesus has gone away to make a place for us so that we can be in this beautiful, wonderful paradise. Amen. With Jesus. So remember the counselor. And I'll be teaching on the counselor tomorrow. Hallelujah. If I'm allowed to come to preach and teach. If the Lord says the same, because we don't do anything by saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other. The Bible said that we should say, if the Lord says so, if the Lord says so, then I may be here tomorrow to do this, and I may not, depending on what the Holy Spirit does. But I have some, what the Holy Spirit does, I do have some information that God has poured into my spirit. Amen. And so well, I'm going to go now, but Apostle, I thank you once again. And again, I'm happy for you and your family. We are rejoicing, rejoicing. And we were rejoicing even before because we just went together through this together. Amen. And we rejoice in what we know is going to happen. We rejoice before we see it manifest because spiritually we call it into spirit. Spiritually, we're saying that we know it's going to happen. Why? Because we believe. We believe in Jesus Christ and what he's able to do. Amen. So say hello to the family. Hallelujah. And everyone else on here, we love y'all with the love of Christ. Amen. And come on and encourage the man of God. Personally, it's okay with me. You know, I come for the Lord. I don't have in my mind that I got to please everybody because I know everybody's not going to be pleased. You can only please some of the people some of the time, not all of the people any time, you know. But we want to please God all the time, please him. That's our goal. And if that's really your goal, if we really focused in, zeroed in on that picture, focusing on that, what would God say? What would God do? Why? Because he's watching. He's listening, and he's watching what we do. So that's very important. So go show. Go show yourself. Go show yourself. Hallelujah. And then people will see more about what you show than what you see. Because most people are just giving it all the service. They're not who they cracked up to be. So be very careful who you allow into your space. Amen. Because everybody is not with you for you. But we have something that God has given us. He said you know them by their spirit. We have a spirit of discernment. And you will know them by their spirit. And I know it's true. Because God has shown me that this is it. That it is what it is. It is what it is. And you it's going to be what it's going to be. When you see it, when you see it, now, sometimes some things could be deceiving. Words can be deceiving. What people do can be deceiving. But the Lord will help you to see beyond that because of the Spirit of God, which is powerful. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. You know.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Apostle, for that great.
To honor you.
Thank you.
And anyone else.
Thank you for that great response.
That come of their own free will. Amen. Come and give of themselves, which is pleasing to God.
Thank you for that great
but
response.
But he said fellowship. Part of fellowshipping is to honor your brothers and sisters. Part of fellowshipping is to give them that enthusiasm. You know, show them that you're enthused, that you have that enthusiasm and that you want to encourage. And the Bible stresses encouraging your brothers and your sisters. It's word. It's a commandment. that we encourage each other. Amen. So Paul had people who was in his life who encouraged him. Amen. They encouraged him. They helped him. They helped him through with the ministry. They helped him and prayed for him when he was sick. They went to encourage him and to bring him gifts while he was in jail. Amen. We talked about that last time when we taught. They loved Paul. There were certain ones, not everybody, but there were certain ones that really stuck with him. Amen. There was Aaron with Moses. There was Aaron with Moses. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They stood with Moses. They held his hands up, held his arms up when he could no longer, he had no more strength to hold his arms up. Amen. To help him with the ministry. When he first started that ministry, he was trying to do it all by himself, and he was getting worn out. He was trying to do everything. We can't do it all by ourselves. We do need our fellow workers, our fellow brothers and sisters, our fam, our God family, to help us. Amen? And we should all strive to do that. Glory be to God. And so Moses' father-in-law came, and he spoke to Moses. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, Moses, you can't do this by yourself. You got to appoint some elders. You got to appoint people to do different jobs. But then while we do that, we got to ask God, what are the gifts this person possesses? What do they have that will be useful to the kingdom? We want to operate from our gifts. Of course, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has poured into us all the gifts that the Holy Spirit has to give, and we have been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we operate from those gifts, glory be to God. We operate from them, and we learn through the Holy Spirit what these gifts are all about. And then God gives us those gifts to minister. It's different gifts. Some people have a gift of giving. Some people have such love, so much love for everybody. No matter what they do, we all should be like that. No matter what they do, we still love them. Some people have a gift of joy. They're always happy. Some people have a gift of patience. They're always patient. That's just to give a couple of examples. I didn't mean to stay this long, but thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping me this long. Thank you, Apostle, for allowing me to speak, sir. And once again, we love you, we love your family, and we love what you do for the kingdom. And everybody else on this line, once again, I say, we do love you. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle Washington.
I don't know if you're on speaker. I guess y'all can barely hear me because I wasn't on speaker.
Yeah, when you started, it was kind of fuzzy, but now it got very clear. Getting close to the end. I didn't want to break the floor because it was something like it was in a storm. But either way, thank you so much for sharing, and thank Bishop, my brother in Christ. And the line is open for anyone that want to come and respond. We're talking about Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe?
Amen.
The line is open.
I'm sorry I wasn't on speaker. But anyway, I hope you all heard some of what I was saying.
We heard some.
No, for some reason it was off speaker. I don't know why. But I was just so taken by some of the scriptures that you brought up today. And I thank God for them. But it'll be on the tape. Does anybody else want to give a comment? Apostle has opened up the line. Please come in and encourage this man of God, our friend in God. Please come in and say something to encourage him. Amen. I'll put it in the question.
Okay, Bishop, you can go ahead and pray and close us out.
Okay.
I know. It was upside down. That's why. Yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I can't get it back to where I want it. Oh.
What's the matter?
It's okay. That's all right.
Okay.
It's okay. All right. Now, for everyone who was on the line, God bless each and every one of you. And for those who couldn't be on the line today, I'm not going to say there wouldn't be. A lot of times, you know, people are on jobs and whatever, and they can't be on the phone. Some people will lose their job if they see them on the phone just listening, because, well, that's just a trick of the enemy. But they're not going to lose their job. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us as we depart one from another. And until we meet again, God bless each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
And
the prophet, you say you're bringing the word tomorrow, Bishop?
I'll bring it tomorrow.
You are bringing the word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll send me the topic later. God bless you. Thank you for coming on today.
Amen.
And we're grateful that all is working out for Brother Peter's life. We are so grateful
Hallelujah.
For that, you know.
Yeah,
thank you. Praise the Lord for that on yesterday. We were praising the Lord, you know, because you always got to give God praise. You got to give him praise when things are not working out, and you got to give him praise when things work out.
That's right.
Praise. You got to give him praise. And also,
that's right.
We thank God for you also. We will talk to you all later, get the information later from you. And I'm just gonna relax now and get ready to post this out in the world.
Praise the Lord.
All right. God bless. All right. Talk to you later.
Amen.
Love you guys.
God bless.
Later.
Love you guys. Amen.
Hello? Hello?
Pray the Lord, Mother Grant. Pray the Lord, Mother Grant. I don't know if you're still there, Mother Grant.
Call this, I did, don't.